ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் டிவைன் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் ஹைலைட்ஸ் ஆஃப் உபனிஷத்ஸ். த டைட்டில் இஸ் பிரஷ்ன உபனிஷத்ஸ் அண்ட் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் அண்ட் ஆன்சர்ஸ், பிரசன்டட் பை சுவாமி ஜோதிர் மயானந்தா. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய்.
மே பூஷா, the knower of the universe, bring auspiciousness. Another attribute of God, Pusha, means one who nourishes. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam, in Shiva's Mahamrityunjaya mantra, that's, these attributes are given to Shiva. O God with three eyes, the giver of nutrition and fragrance. Rather, the Mahamrityunjaya says literally, giver of fragrance and nutrition. Sugandhim, fragrance. Pushti, nutrition. It is the fragrance that draws the bees to the nectar. But afterwards, what happens? Those bees get nourished. There is a spiritual blossoming within you that goes on nourishing your internal process. The more integrated you are, the more nourished you are. So may that pusha bring auspiciousness. Auspiciousness term is something that is so delightful. Even though it is not there, you look at it, and beautiful peacocks have spread their wings, feather, and your heart becomes joyous. Something good is going to happen. That type of situation called auspicious. You're looking at the world, what you want is not there. But everything that you see tells you you're going there. More and more. Mangalam swastir bhavatu. Swasti term, may there be auspicious. Pusha Vishwaveda. And this Pusha, God, the knower of the universe, the nourisher and sustainer of all. Therefore, when he begins to give you nourishment, there is no end to that process. Swastina Starksho Arishtanemi. Starksho, Starksha term refers to Garuda. Garuda of swift motion, the vehicle of Lord Vishnu. All these are highly allegorical. Garuda is the bird with swiftest motion, and the food of Garuda is all types of snakes. The mind, thought waves of your mind are compared to snakes. They carry two fangs, raga dvesha, attachment and hatred, and create poison. The poisonous product, the vishaya, the world of pleasure. Sanskrit word for the world of pleasure is vishaya, which 70% of that word is wish, poison. Now, Garuda is the deity of intuitional mind. If your mind becomes intuitive, Lord Vishnu is coming to your heart, riding on that intuitive mind. And what did the intuitive mind do? Ate up all the snakes. And goes on eating. Arishtanemi. Garuda, the actual translation here, may Garuda of swift motion, who is like a discus to destroy all troubles, arishtas. Here again, you need to understand, ishta and arishta. Things that are desirable in you for your life, for progress. But if you are not backed up by profound sadhana, instead of ishtas, you meet arishtas. Things that you want. What? You get something contrary. You want a day with sunlight to begin with in the morning. But you wake up and see the clouds roaring and lightnings flashing and trees breaking down and Because Arishtas, again from another angle, always understand the impurities of your heart, malas, perverted desires, anger, greed, infatuation, pride, looking into the defects of others, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. These malas are troubles. May Garuda destroy these arishtas. May we possess nirmal man, mind that has become free of malas. Lamente kes libre de malo. Correct, Vaidish? May Brihaspati bestow on us auspiciousness. Brihaspati is Lord of the intellect, the deity of the intellect. In later scripture, Saraswati becomes the deity of the intellect. All those details don't matter. May God, who inspires our intellect, may He bestow wisdom. May He enlighten us. So if you think of the whole peace chant, it has given you entire scripture. And every peace chant ends, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Your threefold troubles harass one's mind. Trouble coming from your body and mind. Body-mind complex. But if that was the end of the trouble, that could be fine. Everyone comes with that internal conflict. And that again depends upon what type of karma is operating. Karmas from your past bring about inner states of your mind. Suddenly things are very agreeable, but then some karma enters into it. Your mind simply goes after the negative. You enter into a wonderful palace and your mind is looking for spiders, cobwebs. So everyone is subject to subjective troubles led by karmas, led by gunas, the modes of nature. But then, when you interact with people who come out into the world now can give you lots of trouble. Simplest of troubles, you may be just be a mosquito, just bites you right on your nose. Simplest of troubles. Complex people around you. Those who have been friends and suddenly turned out enemies. And a world of unexpected interactions with people. People, animals, birds. Anywhere you can be injured. And that's called adibhautik trouble. If that was enough, that's all, then that would be something. Third trouble, adhidaivi. Act of God. All these troubles you can try to manage. Subjective trouble, you have doctors, psychologists and all that. Objective trouble, you have lots of wonderful governors, rulers, politicians. They can calm down some of these subjective troubles. Who is going to calm down God? Act of God. Suddenly something can happen, a whole island can go, slip down. The entire mountain can break down. And thousands of people can be swept away in one tsunami. Therefore remember, these three types of troubles exist in the world. This is not your resting place. Therefore, in the very beginning of your spiritual movement, your peace chant, the prayer says, while I am studying this, may these three troubles get away from me. When I realize it, then I am going to put an end to them. I am giving you highlights, implying that I am not going into those details that don't have much impact in your practical sadhana. In other words, all the names of people and what their forefathers, grandfathers were, etc., that I am avoiding. Those six aspirants, they come from a line of great sages. One aspirant known as Kabandhin, he puts the first question. The sage who is going to respond, his name is Pippalada. Generally, we don't go after the meaning of the words, but every word and every name has its own meaning. Pippal tree, you know, the Bodhi tree. And this sage practiced austerity, eating the leaves of the Pippal tree. He assimilated the philosophy of the Bodhi tree. Enlightened sage, that's all to him. Atkabandhi katyayana upetya prapaccha bhagvan kutoham va imaha praja prajayanta iti. Kabandhin of the clan of Katyayana approached sage Pippalada, asked him, O revered Guru, whence are these creatures born? What's the source of all these beings that exist in the world? Who created? How did they originate? That's the question. Tasmai saho vacha praja kamo vai prajapati sa tapo tapyata sa tapah taptva sa mithunam utpadayate ravi rai cha pranam etye tavu me bahudha prajaha karishya iti. Pippalada sage says that in the beginning there was Prajapati, the lord of all. He was just alone, one without a second. Suddenly he became desirous of offspring. He desires to be many. He performed penance. That's an act of will, mental process. Having performed penance, created a pair, Rai and Prana. Rai term means matter. Prana means life. Food and eater. Matter is as if being eaten by spirit. So you are always a blend. The spirit within you works as if enjoys the material body. The body provides food for the soul's evolution. So first created were Rai and Prana. These two terms are highly important. They become, in Hatha Yoga, Ha and Tha. Ha is Prana. Tha Apana. Tha is Rai. Prana movement means vital movement. A movement towards light. A movement towards the sun. These two terms, Rai and Prana, at the advanced level they become moon and sun. One is a movement towards the moon, another is a movement towards the sun. And your life flows in with the blend of these two. Movement towards the moon means you acquire all practical details in your life to enjoy life. Movement towards the sun means you are moving towards enlightenment. It's also described as pravritti and nivritti. You live your life caught by the wheel of karma, always creating karma. Then you are under the influence of Rai or under the influence of moonward mind. Mind and the moon, you must realize that. Lunar. Lunatic. mind that keeps relationship with the mood, that mind is the majority mind. And that's described as a Rai. But this mind needs a vitality of a spiritual nature to allow the soul not to stay trapped in the world of birth and death, but allow the soul to attain liberation. The path of liberation requires twofold attention: attending on the world of practical reality, the world of Rai, at the same time moving towards the world of the sun. Put it in a very simple way, when you face the universe, the world before you, sun is up there, that sun is prana. All the rays that have created your reality on the earth, that's Rai. And while involved with the rays of the sun, don't forget the sun. When you balance this Rai and prana, it begins within Hatha Yoga, Hatha, and evolves into profounder level of yoga, where you have two paths: the path leading to this moon, the path leading to the sun, Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. The seed of that training, of that wisdom, comes right here in Prashnopanishad. And with this I'm concluding. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Tradition is good.
Thank you, Swamiji. Is the Triambaka mantra the most appropriate mantra to use to remove negativity in situations?
Yes, the Triambaka mantra has been especially given by sages for healing purpose. For wherever you feel healing is necessary, physically, mentally, spiritually, Triambakam mantra enforces all that needed for healing. Triambakam, God with three eyes. Three eyes means two eyes are giving you a horizontal vision of life, a life of past, present and future. Third eye, vertical vision. Same thing like the cross, that which transcends this horizontal concept, takes you above. That God with three eyes. Triambakam yajamahe, we adore. Sugandhim pushti vardhanam is the description of that God. He is the giver of sugandhi. Under his guidance and enjoying his grace, every individual grows like a tree. See the mango trees as it goes. First comes blossoms. So realize sugandhim. Nose becomes filled with fragrance. Then you know mango is coming. Mystically, sugandhim means good qualities begin to develop in you. Quality of patience, generosity, charity, compassion. All these qualities develop. Sugandhi is coming up. Fruit will develop. Your inner movement to God becomes more and more pakka, more and more mature. End up, uruva rukamiva bandhana, just like a cucumber fruit, moves away, taken away from the whole network of creeper. And if you want to push it back, it can't go back. Same way, may this soul move away. If you have become completely nourished, you become the cucumber. The world can't get you. The world is that all those creepers. You are out of the entanglements of the world. And that's liberation. So while the mantra is urging your soul to attain enlightenment, every step you move towards it nourishes you, removes the negativity, whether it is physical, mental, or whatever.
Hello, Swamiji. During the course of my life, I came to learn a certain lesson that people don't listen. They choose when to listen. Is this lesson that I learned absolute?
No lesson is absolute. You have to go on learning it more and more and more.
Thank you.
Because people don't choose because they are helpless. If someone has a headache, how can he choose to listen? So even to be able to exercise the self-effort, whether to listen or not to listen, you have to prepare in a certain way. So therefore, nothing is like a solid reality. You are dealing with something abstract. There comes a time when your mind is healthy enough to choose the right thing. Otherwise, that ability to choose is defective. Two types of party has come to you. One party says, come. It's a wonderful party going on, lot of drinks and dance. Another one says, there are only few people say, come to satsang. What will you choose? So forth.
Swamiji, thank you for receiving me today. The question I have for you is, during your presentation earlier, you mentioned that islands or mountains or these natural disasters can happen and obliterate civilization in an instant. These aren't your words, but are there any times that God do this to parts of the world that are purposeful? Is it completely out of Is it coincidental, or some of these, will a volcano erupt, or will an earthquake strike?
First point, nothing is coincidental. In the creation, if you deeply believe in God, omnipotent, omniscient, is omnipotent, therefore nothing is coincidental, everything under his observation and for a purpose.
And are there ever any instances where this type of an occasion or circumstance may be meant to cleanse?
Meant to cleanse. All circumstances are meant to allow the soul to evolve. Cleanse term is perfectly okay, yes. Subjectively, if you are facing challenging situations, if you face them correctly, they cleanse you, remove lots of obstacles, and you grow wiser. But at the world level, all souls are moving to the same process. Sometimes so many souls, they have come like a whole group, a collection of even 100 and 1,000 people together. It so happens they all seem to be swept away by the same flood. Or so many people die by a plane crash. It has not, each one has died by his own karmic process. Each one has entered into his death, not somebody else's death. Just like so many people go to sleep in the same area. But each one goes to his sleep process according to his own way. Each one will have his own dream. Outside people will say, oh, they are all enjoying, wonderful. You look into it, they are all sleeping. But each one is involved with his own karmic process. That point has to be remembered when you turn to God and his activity. His activity may seem extremely cruel, but has nothing to do with it. When a pot maker makes pots and suddenly finds certain pots are not serviceable, he smashes them and molds them again. So when he is smashing a pot, the pot says, what a cruel bastard. When he makes the pot better, oh, what a wonderful thing.
Swamiji, where will you teach after this present location? Will you continue to teach here for the remainder of your time on this planet, or will you perhaps move somewhere else? You've been here since.
You want me to go to the Mars? No, I'm joking. In the modern world, there's no need for my body to move around. With internet and all that, there isn't a place where it doesn't reach. If I were to just move around, then that speedy process stops. In other words, if I take up a tour, I'm restricting my teaching. I'm more effective being where I am in one place. Because then all that goes on through Twitters and tweets and computer process. But if I am to move around, then suddenly everything stops. That's, again, it's a practical point of view. Old times is different. A person had to practically go with the body. And even so, they could cover only a few countries. Sometimes great people came from India to America, and there was a big thing, big news. Time has changed.
No one else is asking questions, so I'll just keep them coming. I'm a novice, and so I don't really know much regarding your lifestyle, but I did take a yoga class when I lived in Oregon, and I found it phenomenal, and I was taught to look for my inner chakra. And do you incorporate yoga practice into your daily regime?
We have a special place where yoga teachings are given in all details. That's part of my scheme of teaching.
How many hours per day will you practice?
24 hours. It's a serious thing, not a joke.
And of those 40
in other words, if you are living your life, blending within it what I said in the beginning, karma yoga, doing your duties well, allowing the quality of your heart to improve, bhakti yoga, meditation, japa, then what happens? Even when your body is not doing any work, work goes on. So therefore you can't say that yoga has a stop. Your yogic involvement is saturating you from morning till night for 24 hours. But from conscious point of view, you must evolve your own style. Create a rhythmic plan. This much time for yoga exercises, this much for pranayama, this much for meditation, this much for study of scriptures, this much for attending to daily duties, and so forth. Create a rhythmic plan where everything you do has a rhythm, a time to wake up, a time to go for a walk. Keep it in such a way that it's not restrictive. It doesn't keep you on edge, but relaxing. So day by day you go on improving. And don't tell anybody I'm practicing yoga. That's a joke. You can tell. People will turn to you and say, what's your secret? Go on telling. You can, with all your lifestyle, move into a little meditation, little japa, and you feel mentally relaxed, your heart will be glad, you will avoid all negative influences, and you can will shine brighter.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I'd like to ask, in the area of forgiveness between a parent and a child, if I were to say, for instance, that I forgive my father for the way he was and how he showed up for me because he did the best that he could, and I don't really believe that, I feel stuck. How do I get out of that stuckness?
First thing to realize that whether you forgive your father or not, nothing has changed. Nothing can change. Therefore, a greater reality is, why should you hold on something like a thorn in your heart? call it forgiveness or call it not forgiveness, just throw the thorn away. Don't dwell upon it. People live their own lives and they are in the hands of God. You walk away from it.
I'm trying to think, do people change the world or does the world itself, being a living thing as it is, change it?
That all depends upon context, where, what type of change you are talking about. If you are talking about from a profound point of view.
Environmental change.
All that, now the answer lies in science, research.
Thank you.
The research will go on telling you what type of changes you want and how can it be speeded up. But when you study philosophy here, change implies a profound understanding has to come within you. Deep down, the soul within you is like the sky. Mind brings so many situations like clouds. Do the clouds change the sky? The world will go on changing like clouds. But if you are in tune with God, you are the sky. That's the goal of life.
Thank you.
Don't be mixed up with clouds. Okay? Question for you. For getting realization of God, what should you do? For getting realization of the world. Answer is, forget the world.
Any more questions? So before we enjoy Kum Kum blessing.